Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is God's word. Let's pray. Father, what we know not, teach us. What we are not, make us. And what we have not, give us. For your Son's sake, amen. Amen. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. There are probably some of you here this morning who have heard that quote. It's a pretty famous quote. It's the first sentence in A.W. Tozer's popular book, Knowledge of the Holy. It's a great book on the attributes of God. A.W. Tozer pastored several churches during his 40 years in the ministry. He served for 30 years as the pastor of Southside Alliance Church in Chicago. And yet, what not many people know is that while Tozer was this prolific author and his writings and theology have had a profound impact on many lives, he was a bad husband and a bad dad. When Tozer's wife, Ada, remarried after Tozer's death, she said that Tozer loved Jesus Christ, but her new husband actually loved her. He had 7 children with Ada, and yet often left her to handle the majority of the parenting responsibilities while he focused on his work. He prioritized his ministry over his family life. He would accept preaching opportunities at a short notice and just leave Ada and the kids behind. He also refused to purchase a car because he associated having one with worldliness. And so this left Ada and the children to either walk or take the bus. Some people try to give excuses for Tozer's failing as a husband and father, but there is no excuse. Ministry, your job, does not excuse you from what God has called you as a husband and a father. Our theology must lead to actually living out what we believe, especially within our families. There is never an excuse for neglecting our primary God-given responsibility. And so in our passage this morning, Paul is addressing life within the Christian home. And what we see is that God commands parents to raise up their children in the ways of the Lord, and that children are to obey their parents. This is a very important word for all of us, especially in the day that we live in. Our jobs often demand a lot from us. And that can mean that we don't spend as much time with our families as we should. With all the technology and such easy access to social media, kids can easily stumble upon things that go against what their parents teach them. Some schools are even starting to tell kids to question their parents' authority. And on top of that, our society has changed. Laws and cultural attitudes now focus more on children's rights over the authority that their parents rightly have. That's why understanding God's word and his design for the family is so crucial. It helps us stand firm against these pressures from our culture and to know how to walk in God's ways. And so there's going to be 2 simple parts to this sermon. To the children, and then to the parents. And the main point, what I hope you see in the text, is that God commands children to obey and honor their parents, and for parents to lovingly discipline and teach their children in the Lord's ways. God commands children to obey and honor their parents, and for parents to lovingly discipline and teach their children in the Lord's ways. Paul begins by telling the children of the church to obey their parents. And remember, this letter was written to the Ephesian Christians who themselves had been saved out of darkness and lostness. And Paul is explaining how they can walk in a spiritually dark and broken world. This is instruction for how we are to walk in love, as Paul said back in chapter 5, as children of light, trying to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. He's explaining to them how to walk wisely and carefully, understanding what the will of the Lord is, what it looks like to be filled with the Spirit, what it looks like to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. As we saw last week, wives are to submit to their husbands, and husbands are to love their wives, and now we see that children are to obey their parents. Look at verse 1. Paul writes, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land." And what's interesting about this section is that Paul assumed that children would be present in the meeting where all of this theology was being read. Think about it. Paul wrote this letter, and then he gave it to a person, and then that person would carry it possibly on a boat. And when that person got to Ephesus, it would be handed off to someone in the Ephesian church, and then the next time that they met together, that this letter would be read to them. 6 chapters. Well, I guess back then there wasn't 6 chapters, it was just a letter. It's pretty short, though. It doesn't take long to read. You could read the entire book this afternoon. In fact, I think that would be a really great way for you to spend your Lord's Day or end your Lord's Day. If you think about it, the Ephesian church gathered together to hear Paul's letter read aloud, and among those in the congregation are children sitting and listening. Think about it. Paul addresses children directly. He doesn't say, "Parents, tell your children to obey you." But children, obey your parents. Paul assumed that children would be there to hear this letter. And so this morning, children, teens, those of you living under the roof of your parents, God is speaking directly to you. It's very important for you to obey your parents and honor them. That's pretty simple, right? Be careful to obey your mom and dad. Don't give in to the temptation to disrespect or disobey them. You should obey your parents even when you don't feel like it, even when you think that they're wrong. Fathers and mothers have been appointed by God to exercise authority in the home. And so refusing to obey and honor your parents is rebellion against God. Now, parents aren't perfect. They make mistakes. But that does not mean you shouldn't obey your parents. In fact, the only reason you should ever disobey your parents is if they tell you to sin or disobey God. And everything else, you are to obey. Let's think about this passage more closely. Think about this. The fact that Paul and Timothy also address children in their letters is very significant. This was a uniquely Christian thing, to address those who are under authority. This showed that they respected children and that children had dignity. And Paul is encouraging these children to obey willingly. And this teaching would have been very helpful for the children of Paul's day. Maybe there was a teenage boy in the congregation wondering how he should treat his unbelieving parents. Or a young girl and her mother who had just recently been converted while their father was still someone who didn't believe Jesus to be the Messiah. How should these believing children relate to their parents now? And Paul's instruction is clear. Obey. Just like he said to the Christians in Colossae in Colossians 3:20, where he says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." This is right. It pleases the Lord. Believing children should be submissive to their parents. In the first chapter of Proverbs, we read, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck." Disobedience, on the other hand, brings God's judgment. Proverbs 30 says, "The eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures." Later, when Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:2, he says that evidence of godlessness in the last days is that people will be lovers of self, they'll be lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, and disobedient to their parents. Disobedience to your parents may seem like a small thing, not like murder, but it's sin. And it needs to be repented of. And it can lead to destruction. And so, children, teens, God is telling you today to obey those who love you, those who gave you life, those who have given you a roof over your head and food for your bellies. And Paul is especially talking to children who are believers, who have recognized that they are sinners in need of a Savior, who have trusted in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. He's talking to children who are following Christ. In verse 1, he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." So what he's saying there, if you want to follow Jesus, part of following him means that you obey your parents. I think for teenagers, this is one of the greatest evidence of the fact that you are actually following Christ. You can have emotional experiences. You can say a whole bunch of religious things. But are you living out your faith? Are you obeying what Christ has said in his word? If you're not, then maybe you need to consider if you're really a Christian or not. Because it's one thing to profess Christ, and then it's another thing to actually show by your life that your profession of faith is genuine. Jesus said that if we love him, we will keep his commandments. Children obeying and honoring their parents gladly in the Lord is fruit that pleases God and shows that they're truly Christ's disciples. So to be clear, obeying your parents is part of you following Christ. Your obedience to your parents can also be part of how you witness to others. When people see you respecting and obeying your parents, not like all the other kids around you, they might ask you why you're doing it. And that gives you a chance to talk about your faith and how it affects everything that you do and the way that you live. And so your obeying your parents can actually be a way that you witness to your friends and maybe even their parents. And think about this. The Gospels don't mention much about Jesus' life from his birth to his baptism. And yet in Luke 2, it says that Jesus was submissive to his parents. Jesus was the Son of God. He had more wisdom than Mary and Joseph, and yet he was obedient to his parents. And so, children, you should follow the example that Jesus has set for you. In verse 2, Paul quotes one of the Ten Commandments to show that it's always been God's way for this. And he says, honor your father and mother. Honor is a broader word than obey. And so some people will ask the question, as adults, should we still obey our parents? And the short answer is no. But we should honor them. And so when do we go from obeying our parents to honoring them? Well, there's no certain age that we see in the Bible. But Genesis 2:24, which we looked at last week, says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And so we can say that when we move out and go and establish our own households, it's a normal time for us to move from obeying our parents to honoring them. But Scripture gives no direct age. So as we move on and get married and have children, the command to honor our parents is something that we still have to obey Christ with. And that means that we show them respect in any way that we can. We don't disrespect them, but we show respect. But if you're living at home, you should obey your parents. And Paul points out the importance of honoring our parents by saying in verse 2 that this is the first commandment with a promise. Now, if you know the Ten Commandments, you know that this is not the first commandment. This is the fifth commandment. But it is the first of the ten that has a promise attached to it. We see the promise in verse 3, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. What Paul is doing here is he's making this general point that when you live God's way, that's the path to a happy and full life. He doesn't mean that you won't suffer or that you'll never be sad, but Paul is generally speaking that you will live a long and happy life if you live God's way, if you honor your father and mother. And also the fact that Paul cites and applies this command gives the assumption that there is a continuation of this command, that the Ten Commandments remain relevant to us as Christians. We know that we cannot earn salvation through keeping the law. It's the law that actually condemns us. And yet the law is good. It shows us that we are sinners. The law shows us that we are in need of a Savior. And so we know that salvation is only through faith in Jesus Christ, who kept the law on our behalf and who bore the curse of the law for us. And yet God also uses the law to guide us and to teach us God's ways. So do you want to understand what the will of the Lord is? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And if you have any questions about what you should obey, talk to your parents about this. Ask them, why do you ask me to do this? They can tell you. They can explain. They should. And they can hear more about your concerns. Children, listen to your parents. Obey and respect them and honor them. To understand what the will of the Lord is, Paul also speaks to fathers. We see this in verse 4. He gives two commands, one negative and one positive. He says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Now notice that Paul addresses fathers here. Now, he's not saying, moms, you are exempt. This is a word for both moms and dads. But he addresses dads here because fathers are the heads of their households. They are supposed to lead in the home. And so men, this is a call for us to be the spiritual leaders in our homes. Harry Reeder, who was an incredible preacher and pastor, he used to tell pastors to be the thermostats in their churches and not thermometers. He said that pastors shouldn't just merely reflect the spiritual temperature of their church. They should be the ones setting the spiritual temperature of their church. And the same should be said about Christian fathers. We should be spiritual thermostats in our homes, setting the spiritual temperature. And Paul's first command here is that fathers shouldn't provoke or stir up their children to anger. Don't come down too hard on your kids. And let me say this, kids, you're probably going to think that the second half of the sermon is way more enjoyable than the first half. So listen up, though, because maybe you can have a conversation with mom and dad about these things over lunch. This command to not provoke your children to anger would have been pretty shocking for people to hear in the first century. Because fathers had complete control over members of their family. They could order them around. They could physically beat them. They could sell them. And they could kill them. And that was all completely legal. So this would have been extremely shocking. And what Paul says to fathers here is to not make your children resentful towards you by the way that you treat them. You can have dads that are too harsh, and you can have moms that are too harsh. And so parents, we should not provoke our children to anger. It's the duty of parents to love and teach our children. We're not supposed to treat our children in a way that provokes their anger, but instead, as Matthew Henry says, to treat them in such a way that provokes their graces. We shouldn't be selfish and lazy in our treatment of kids and just leave their hearts untended, allowing them to go all the way up to danger and sin, and then we yell, "No, don't do that." Because when we do that, that just frustrates their desires. Stop them before they get to that point. We shouldn't provoke them to discouragement, as Paul warned to the Colossians in Colossians 3:21. He says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged." So don't just bark orders at them, but lovingly explain the truth about what's going on, especially when it comes to their own sinful nature. Tell them, "There is a reason you're like this. Mom and I are the same way. But we've been changed by God's Spirit, and that's what we're praying for you." Fathers provoke their children by not making quality time for them, by living an inconsistent lifestyle, by having expectations that are way too high. And parents should never abuse their children. So fathers, ask yourself if you are unintentionally pushing your children away by how you are discipling and instructing them. Now, if you are kind in telling them that they cannot have ice cream and they still get mad, there's nothing much else you can do. And so pray, continue to love them and persevere. But even in our method of teaching our children, we want to draw them to us, not push them away. And even when we do have to discipline our children, the whole point of discipline is for their good, not for us to get our anger out. We should live in a way with our children that makes it very easy for them to obey and respect us. And mom or dad, if you feel like you've failed in this area, confess your sin to your children. Ask them for forgiveness. And if you're here today and your parents didn't do well in this area of your life, pray for them. If they're still alive, work to restore that relationship and forgive them. We shouldn't provoke our children to anger, but instead, the second half of verse 4, we should bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The biblical pattern for fatherhood is not to just provide financially for the family while the mother stays at home and cares for the children, but the father has ultimate responsibility in raising the children spiritually. If fathers are too busy to do this, they are too busy, and things need to change. Fathers are commanded to care for the spiritual needs of their children. Just like the commands for husbands and wives last week, this is not a suggestion to consider, but this is a command to obey, to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So fathers, do you take seriously the calling that the Lord has placed on your life to care for the spiritual well-being of your children? We are to bring them up in discipline. Think about how unloving it would be to withhold correction to a child who needs correction. It may save you a little time and trouble today, but they will pay for it later. We see in the book of Proverbs that discipline is presented as an essential part of our love as parents. In Proverbs 13:24, it says, "Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him." And some people will say, well, I love my child way too much to cause them pain. And yet Solomon says here, if you don't discipline, you hate him if you do that. By not disciplining the child, you are setting them up to suffer for the consequences of their wicked behavior. Now, we should never discipline a child in anger. We should never abuse a child. But that's not what we're talking about here. Proverbs 22:15 says, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him." You know what it says there? It says that children are foolish. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child. Children are foolish, and there is one way to get that folly out of them: the rod of discipline. And so parents, pray to the Lord for wisdom in this area. Talk to other godly Christian parents in your life. Seek wisdom. We're commanded to nourish our children with discipline and instruction. The word instruction here actually means warning. We need to not only tell our children that God loves them, but also to warn them to flee from the wrath to come. We need to warn them about disobedience and worldliness. And what we see here in this text is that the primary Christian discipleship of our children is to be from parents. You cannot just place this on the church. It's not the church's job to raise up your children in the Lord primarily. While we will do the best that we can here, it is really the responsibility of the parents before the Lord. We see that here in black and white. It says, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We have this responsibility as fathers from God. God has instructed parents to pour into their children spiritually. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4-7 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise." This is always what God has told his people to do. Nourish your children. Bring them up. It's God's plan for His word to be passed on from one generation to the next. And the primary means for this is in the family. He says, instruct. We are to teach. Parents, the call of God to you in the Bible is to teach your children God's word, to teach them the gospel, to not merely teach them how to behave. That just breeds Pharisees. Godly fathers and mothers will take time at home to read the Bible and teach the Bible to their children. And so this means that you yourself need to be in the Word of God to make yourself wise in the Lord's ways so that you can bring up your children not in your own ways, but in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And so as you walk with them, as you drive them to places and you eat with them at your table, talk to your children about Jesus. We are to disciple our children. Polite, good-mannered, religious children are not the goal. What Paul wants is for children to know Jesus Christ and for parents to love Jesus more than anything and who will take on this responsibility and calling to raise up their children in the Lord. So parents, spanking without speaking and discipline without discipleship is wrong and it's sinful. And it will teach our children very poorly about what God is like. It's truly a blessing for kids to have godly parents who care for them, because it presents this picture of God's care for us. Last week we saw that marriage presents this beautiful picture of Christ and His church. Godly parents loving their children as they bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord gives their children a picture of what God is like with us. And so parents, mimic God the Father in your parenting. Be kind. Be consistent. And show grace. How are you doing in this area? Are you disciplining your children so that they're learning to be obedient and respectful? Are you preparing them to live for God in this world by instructing them in the Lord? Are you teaching them about who God is? Are you teaching them about who we are and what our purpose in this world is? Are you teaching them the gospel? Are you teaching them about sin and its consequences? Do they know about Jesus and how He redeems and saves people from their sin? Do they know God's law and that they've broken it? Do they know what repentance is? Do they know how to pray? Fathers and mothers, we must teach our children these things. And your children need to see that you practice the faith that you profess. We all fail in sin in many ways, even the best parents. And one of the most important things for children to see is their parents repent before the Lord and ask their children for forgiveness when they sin against them. It's important that the gospel is taught, but also lived out. And maybe you're here and your parents are out of the picture, or maybe you don't have any children and you want to know that you still have a role to play in this, and you do. You do. This sermon is for you as well. Jesus said in Mark 3:34, looking at those around Him as He sat, He said, "Here are My mothers and brothers." The members of the church are your family. And so, brothers and sisters, this church's children are, in a sense, your children as well. You can help us. You shouldn't undermine a parent's responsibility and authority, but you can complement it. You are a part of God's kind provision to us. You will learn things from those kids and those families, and they will learn things from you. That's the way that the Lord has designed his church. That's why I'm so thankful for all those who serve in our children's ministry. You actually help reinforce our teaching as parents. And so those of you in that group where you don't really have parents around anymore, or you don't have any children, you can pray for the children in this church. You can come over to our homes and help with the kids. You can serve in children's ministry. There are many ways you can do this. You can play a significant role in whatever stage of life that you are in. And so, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. What a wonderful encouragement to be reminded of in God's word. At home, the parents are to care for the children, and the children are to obey the parents. A teaching like this helps us understand what the will of the Lord is. We have so many young families with busy parents. And what I'm told is that these days that seem so long when you're in the middle of them will be gone before you know it and will never come back. A Christian father once confessed, "My family is all grown and the kids are all gone. But if I had to do it all over again, this is what I would do. I would love my wife more in front of my children. I would laugh with my children more. I would listen more. I would be more honest about my own weaknesses, never pretending perfection. I would pray differently for my family. Instead of focusing on them, I would focus on me. I would do more things together with my children. I would encourage them more. I would pay more attention to the little things. And finally, if I had to do it all over again, I would share God more intimately with my family. Every ordinary thing in every ordinary day, I would use to direct them to God." These responsibilities that the Lord has given us can be overwhelming, but remember that the Lord has given us his Spirit to help us in our weaknesses. And so be filled with the Spirit. It's important to keep in mind that children are saved by God's grace and not our good parenting. Kids can grow up in great homes and turn out very rebellious. And so we must pray and trust the Lord and do what he has called us to do. And remember, these commands come from a good and loving God who wants the best for us and our children. And so parents and children and all of us here, let's continue looking to Christ. He is the perfect example of obedience and love. And he is also the source of forgiveness when we fall short. God commands children to obey and honor their parents, and for parents to lovingly discipline and teach their children in the Lord's ways. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we hear these commands for children to obey and for parents to nourish and teach and discipline. Lord, we ask you to help us to bring you glory and honor by obeying your word and living wisely. Lord, would you drive us to Christ? Would you pour out your Spirit and fill us? Would you make us examples of the way that you have called us under your good authority, giving testimony to your goodness? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.